Ephesians chapter 5, and we're finishing up where we left off last week. Ephesians chapter 5. Last week we started out in verse number 8, and we only got down to verse number 10, and we're going to go from 10 to 17 tonight. We talked about adjusting our walk. You know, this past week we've had several days of rain, and every morning I like to, after I have my Bible time with the Lord, I go for a walk with my dog, and I've had to adjust my walk. Some days we've had to say, I'm going to have to wait for a little while. It's still raining out there. Other days I've had to say, well, you know, sorry, Libby, we're not going to be able to go today because it's raining. I'm not going to get wet. And Libby doesn't like getting wet either. And so we've had to change our plans, adjust our walk. And you know, the Bible tells us that when we trust Christ as our Savior, if we're going to walk with God, if you're going to have a life that is in fellowship with God, in tune with God, walking in harmony with God, you're going to have to adjust your walk. It's going to mean adjusting your walk. There's going to have to be some changes that take place in your life. And last week we talked about, in verse number 8, how that we need to walk as children of light. Verse 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And we said that to do that, a Christian, first of all, can walk in the light because God has changed us from the inside. If you know the Lord as your Savior, He has made a change in your heart to enable you to walk in the light. Then, we also talked about the fact that Christians have a duty to walk in the light, and that he goes on and explains then, in verse number 9, that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So, the Spirit of God produces that which is good, right, and true. And that's to be our standard. That's to be our guide. So, how do I know what is right and what is wrong? Well, it's what the Spirit of God produces that will help us to do that. And then in verse 10, we learned that proving what is acceptable unto the Lord is our job. That's our duty. We need to prove what is acceptable. Now, we talked about the fact in our quiz that proving means to test. It means to test. And so, we need to test the things that we do. And as we finished up last time, I gave you some verses to help us. These are verses that we really need to have memorized. Verses that we need to either have the verse fully memorized, or you need to memorize what is taking place in the verse so that it can help you in your daily walk. With like Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8 and 9, it says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another." So God says these are things we should not do. So when you're going to test something, alright, you're going to get ready to say something, come out of your mouth, and you're just about ready to say it, and you need to ask yourself, is that true? Maybe not. Then don't say it, because God said we're to say what is truth. Alright, we're not to say lies. Or is it an angry response? Don't do it then, because so we need to test everything and we need to know these verses. Philippians 4:8 was one of the verses we just had. It talks about our thoughts, how to test our thoughts. What is it right? Is it true? Is it just? Is it lovely? All those things that he mentions in that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." So he says, you need to be an example. So we need to ask ourselves, am I being a good example or a bad example by doing this? So all of these are questions we ask ourselves when we're trying to prove what is right. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So he says, we're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly. Think carefully before we respond. And then one last one we mentioned is the 1 John 5, or 2, 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if I do this, is it causing me to love the world? Is it an action of loving what I shouldn't love? And all of these are things you ask yourself before you get involved in something so you can make the right choice. Now, we need to take a step beyond that now. There are times you're going to have to make choices about things that you don't immediately know an answer for from the Bible. Maybe some tough decisions. Somebody asks you to do something, or you need to decide, should I go there or shouldn't I? And there's tough decisions. Then you need to know, how do you find the answer then? Well, the answer is still found in the Bible. The Bible is still our source. But you need to know how to find it in the Bible. Now, there's two things that you can do to find help in the Bible. Well, it's actually probably three. But one of them is to, if you're old-fashioned, you can get a concordance. Anybody know what a concordance is? Some of the backs of your Bibles have a concordance in it where it's a list of all, a whole bunch of topics, and you can look up that topic and you can find verses on that topic. That can help you sometimes to be able to find an answer. How do I know what God thinks about this situation? The easier way in our modern world is to have Bible software either on your phone or on your computer. You just type in, you know, I'm having trouble with whatever it is. You know, let's... Well, we've already talked about anger, but we'll just say anger for an example. Type in anger, and it brings a whole bunch of verses on anger, and you can read down through and see what God says about the subject. You could do that about all kinds of subjects by searching the Bible. And so, Bible software is a good one to use if you know how to use it, and you need to learn how to use it, and that's something that's very helpful. Now also, in conjunction with this, you need to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know, if you know Christ your Savior, where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in you. All right? And if He lives in you, then you can call upon Him, and He wants you to call upon Him and say, Lord, show me what is right. How should I respond to this situation? Should I go to this thing or shouldn't I not go to this? Should I read this book or shouldn't I read this? Should I look at this or shouldn't I look at this? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? And the Spirit of God can help you to find the right answer if you ask Him to. Now, also, be sure to keep your findings in context. When you're looking up something in the Bible, you know, there's a little funny story, and you've probably heard the little story, but it helps us to understand how we need to be careful about looking things in the Bible. You know, there's a man that was trying to make a decision, and he flopped open his Bible, and he read, you know, that Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, ooh, that's not very nice. I don't like that. And so he shut his Bible up, and he opened it again, and then he found another verse, and it says, go and do thou likewise. And he said, oh, I don't like this either. All right? Now, what that is he was reading it out of context. He wasn't reading the verses around it. And God can teach us if we'll make sure we keep it in context. So when you're studying the Bible, make sure you don't just pull a verse out and say, oh, yep, I like that verse because of what it said. You might be reading one of those verses that Judas went and hanged himself, you know, and so that's not the kind. So you want to, you're not trying to base your decisions on those kind of things. So keep them in context and then give God the benefit of the doubt if you're not sure. You know, sometimes you will find something and say, well, I just don't know. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a few moments, so I won't dwell on it right now. But sometimes you'll find that, well, I kind of think this is what God wants, and I kind of think maybe it's not right, and what do I do? Well, the thing to do is to give God the benefit of doubt and say, well, I'm not sure, God, so I'll do it what I think is more conservative rather than more liberal. All right, I'll make the careful choice rather than the careless choice. And so that's the way to go on those kind of choices. And I said, we'll mention more about it in a moment. Now, another thing is we need to stick to the goal of truly wanting to find what pleases the Lord. Remember what he says here in verse 10? Proving what is acceptable unto me. Is that what it says? Is that what it says, Neil? No. Proving what is acceptable unto who? The Lord. All right? So we're to test things to find out what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And that needs to be our goal. I want to do what is pleasing to the Lord. And if you have that goal in mind and you're making a choice and decision, it helps you to make the right decision. Because a lot of times what the Lord wants and what we want aren't always the same. And deep down in our heart, we know that what the Lord wants is right and we like to do what we want anyway. And we got the struggle in us. And so it'll help us to make the right choice if we have that in mind. Now, when you know what God wants you to do, either by command or principle, then it's time to apply these verses. Now, let's back up just a moment and make sure you understand what is the difference between a command and a principle. A command and a principle. All right, let's start with command. That's pretty basic. What is a Bible command? Well, it's God said, do not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Obey your parents. Those are pretty basic, clear commands. You don't have to say, well, I wonder what God meant when he said, obey my parents. Does that mean I got to? No, that's pretty clear. All right? Those are commands. Those are commands. All right? Now, principles are something a little different. The principle is a timeless truth or guideline that reveals God's mind on a contemporary issue. It's a timeless truth or guideline that reveals God's mind on an issue. Now, what do I mean by that? You can be reading along, and maybe you read a story in the Bible, and how that, for example, this morning, as I mentioned, that I was reading in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, and it says there that the there arose a new generation that knew not the Lord. And it caused great trouble. Now, there's nothing in that verse that says, don't be part of that new generation. It doesn't say, watch out, parents. Don't be a bad example. It doesn't say that, but there's principles there. And if you look at that verse, you can think, all right, there was Joshua's generation that lived for God. There was the next generation that drifted away. And there was the third generation that forgot God. All right, God's telling us something. The principle is this. I must be very, very careful to train my children in the things of God so that they can learn and adopt what I have learned and adopted for God, and that they will carry it on to their children, and they will carry it on to their children, and they will carry it on to their children. And it has to be, there's a principle there. All right, the principle is, this is God's mind on contemporary issues. How do I do this? Well, God shows me his mind by a principle in the Bible. So there's commands and principles. All right? And so the command is thou shalt not. Those are pretty clear. The principles are when you look, and that's what we're looking for in our Bible reading. When you read your Bible every day, look for principles. Sometimes you'll find commands, and commands are fine. You can write down a command. God doesn't want me to lie. He says, lie not one to another. That's a great thing to write down as something you've learned in your Bible reading. But many times there's not the command, but there's lots of principles. And you can learn from stories, learn from a person's mistakes, learn from examples. You know, you can read how somebody made a big mistake and you can say, whoa, I don't want to do that. That's not the right thing to do. Even though God didn't say, don't do that, you can see, whoa, that wasn't a good example because look what happened to that poor fella because he made a big mistake. All right. And so there's those kind of things that we can learn from the principles. So this is the difference between principles and commands. Now, when you know what God wants you to do, either from a command where God says, thou shalt, or a principle where you learn this is how God responded to that. This is how God thinks about that kind of subject. Then it's when you have to apply what we learn here in verse 10. He says, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. So you've got on the one side, I know this is how God thinks about this subject, but I want to do that. And I got to prove it. And say, so I take and say, all right, this is what I want to do. How does that fit in line with what God wants? Does it match? Or is God saying, no, I shouldn't do it? And no, I don't think I should do that. Sometimes it's pretty clear. We say, no, if I'm going to follow God, I can't do that. And sometimes that's where we make our mistake. We know in our mind, God says this, I want to do that. Sorry, God, I got to do what I want to do this time. And we walk away and we do wrong. That's a big mistake. Other times we say, well, I don't know. It's one of those tough ones. You know what I mean? It might be okay. It might be wrong. It's kind of in between. What do you do in an in-between situation? We're going to talk about that for a moment here. Several months ago, when I was preaching through Romans, we talked about a verse in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I'd like you to turn to that verse and take a look at it. Romans 14, verse 23. Romans 14, verse 23. Here in Romans 14, 23, it says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, now he was talking about eating meats offered to idols and things like that. So it was talking about a different subject matter than what we're talking about here. But the principle is the same. All right, now when he talks about doubteth, that means if you hesitate or waver or say, well, I'm just not sure. It might be okay. It might not be okay. God might think it's good. God might, and we're not sure. So there's times in life, a lot of times in life that we face those kind of situations where we're just not sure what God feels about a situation. Maybe you're invited to go to a party and you think, oh, I don't know whether I should go or not. It's kind of an iffy party. You know, the people that are there aren't Christians and it may be bad. The music might be bad. The things that I do might be bad, but I might have an opportunity to witness God. What should I do? I don't know. It's kind of an iffy one. All right. So we face situations like this all the time that we're not sure about. Now, what's he say? Now, when he talks about damned here, he's not talking about being sent to hell. All right, so he says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. All right, he didn't say if you eat and you weren't sure that you were supposed to, you go to hell. That's not what he's talking about. The word damned here is a word that literally means to be condemned or liable of judgment. You're going to face God in judgment. God's going to judge you for your decision. Now, when he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that's a little phrase I want us to focus our thoughts on. And I want you to get it down in your mind so you understand what this means. It's very important. When I discovered this, it just came, clicked a light in my mind and it was very helpful for me. What it's dealing with is, again, does something pass God's test? Does it pass God's test? And if I'm not sure, let's say I've tested it, I know the Bible verses, I've got them down, I've evaluated what I want to do, maybe it's something you want to wear, maybe it's some place you want to go, maybe it's something, an activity you want to get involved in, but you're just not sure. I don't know, it's a hard one. And you've tested it, but you're not sure. We must base this on the confident faith that it is right. All right. Once we've tested it, if we say, yes, I believe it's right, it's okay, God's not against this, it's right, then go ahead and do it. But if you say, I'm just not sure, but since I'm not sure and God doesn't say really clearly, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because I know I'm not sure, but I think it's probably okay, but I'm not sure, but I'll do it anyway. And God says, if you do it when you're not sure and you think it might be wrong, he says, that's sin. And you'll be judged for it. Why? The reason is because you're doing something that you think might be sin. It might be not sin, but it might be sin. And I'm going to do it anyway because I want to do it, even though it might be sin, but I'm hoping it's not. All right? And God said, if we make that kind of a choice, it's wrong. And it is a sin because we choose to do what we know might not be right. God does not want us to choose the questionable, but the clear. God wants us to choose what is clear. And so there are some times when we face something, you say, well, I just don't know whether God would like this or not. Maybe it's clothing. Maybe it's a place you go. Maybe it's something you're thinking about. Maybe it's a book you're reading. Maybe it's something you're watching on the screen. And you say, I just don't know. God, what do you think? I've looked at the Bible verses. I don't see anything. It doesn't really say anything about this subject matter. And I'm not really sure. But in your heart, you think, deep down inside, I don't think Jesus would do this. Then you better not do it. You better not do it. Because if you do it knowing that it might be sin, and you do it anyway because you just take a chance, God said that's sin. We should not do that because we're choosing to do something we think might be wrong. That verse can be a real help to you if you'll focus on that, on those real questionable areas. Most things, thankfully, there's not a lot of super questionable things in life. Most things, if you evaluate it with God's word, you can pretty much clearly see what God would do. And you can think about what would Jesus do and say, yeah, well, I know what Jesus would do. Down in my heart, that's not what I want to do, but I know what Jesus would do, so I know what I got to do. So most of the time this is an issue, but sometimes it is. And when that happens, you need to make the right choice and give God the benefit of the doubt and do what is, you know, is right and not what you think might be wrong. Okay? Now let's move on. Verse number 11. We deal with a subject where he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. All right, verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, we must not fellowship or participate with the unfruitful works of darkness. So first of all, we need to ask ourselves, what are these unfruitful works of darkness? Well, back in verse 9, he talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And what were they? Those fruits of the Spirit that he's talking about there. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. So is it good in God's sight? Is it right in God's sight? Is it true in God's sight? All right? Those are things the Spirit of God will approve of. He'll produce that. He is in favor of those things. So we ask ourselves, is it true? Is it right? Is it pleasing to God in those areas? Is it good? All right. So the unfruitful works of darkness are things that don't meet that. They're the things that are bad, things that aren't right, things that aren't true. All right. Then he says we're to have no fellowship with them. The word fellowship means to have, to partake, to be a partner with. If Garrett and I were going to have fellowship together, we would sit down and play games together. We'd sit and talk and we'd just have fun together. We'd just do things together. Maybe go for a walk or maybe we'll go calling together. We're doing something together. We're fellowshipping. We're participating together. And God says here we're not to have fellowship or participate with the unfruitful works of darkness. So the unfruitful things, things that are not good, are not pleasing to God, they do not pass God's test, do not fellowship with them. Don't have anything to do with them. A good verse for us to think about in that same light is over in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away." Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. So he says, don't go near the path of the wicked. Don't go the way they go. Stay away from it because it's bad. It'll hurt you. So God's telling us this here. Don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So if the thing that you tested doesn't fit the test, and you know it doesn't fit the test, then don't go ahead and do it anyway and think that, well, God's not watching, I'll do it anyway this time. Or my friends all want me to, so I'm going to do it. No, because he says that's wrong. We're not to do that. We're not to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But then he says that we're to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. The word reprove means to expose or to find fault with or to convict or to rebuke. So he says we are to reprove it, to rebuke it, the unfruitful works of darkness. Say, that's not right. I can't do that. That is not good. I'm not going to go that way. And if you do right, other people say, oh, come on, don't be so weird. You know, everybody else is doing it. Come on, do it with us. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't believe that is pleasing to God. Well, by standing up for that, what you're doing is you're reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. Maybe you've got a bunch of friends, and your friends all say, come on, let's go do whatever. And you know, oh, that wouldn't please God. No, I'm sorry, I can't go. I don't want to do it. Why not? Because I want to please God. Well, that's hard to say, especially if you're a teenager, to speak up to your friends and say, no, I don't want to do that because it doesn't please God. But that's the good thing to say. And I'm not going to do that because it doesn't please God, or God doesn't want me to do that. And by doing right, it reproves what they're doing. It makes them feel guilty. So if they go off and say, oh, well, you go your way, we'll do our way, and we'll go off and do it. And in their hearts, some of those kids are going to be thinking, yeah, I probably shouldn't do it either, but I don't care, I want to do it, and I'm going to keep on doing it. And it's reproving them, it's convicting them, it's bringing conviction to their heart because you have stood for what is right. So by standing for what is right and standing for what pleases God, it reproves or rebukes those who choose to do wrong. And it'll help us to be a testimony for the Lord. Many of the sins of darkness are done in secret and are shameful. And he says here in verse 12 that we're not even to talk about those. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever is doth make manifest is light. All right, so the word manifest means to bring it out in the open. All right? And if you take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there with you guys because that's not right. That doesn't please God. You take a stand. You have turned on the light so that the rest of them can think, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe that's not the best thing to do. Well, some of them will go ahead and do it anyway. But you have turned on a light for them to help them. So when you stand for what's right, you can help others to stand for what's right. Now, they don't always do that, but God says that's what he wants. He wants us to shine for him as a light to reprove others. And that's what he says there in verse 13, that it reproves or it makes manifest by the light. So if you walk in the light, the other night at the youth activity, I illustrated walking in the light. I had my lantern with me, shut off all the lights, and as if I stood close to the lantern, I was in the light. But as soon as I walked away from the lantern, I was not in the light anymore. And the further I walked away, the further I got from the light. And God is light. Remember that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, I think it is. He says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And so we need to stay close to God so we can stay close to the light. And if we stay close to the light, we have fellowship with God. And he says here that we need to let our light shine for others. So when we take a stand for the Lord and we say, no, I'm going to stay close to God. You guys can go over there if you want to, but I'm not going there. I'm going to stay close to God. I'm going to stay in the light. And then the others, they walk away, they get in the dark, and it reproves them. It reveals their sinfulness. It helps them to see that what they're doing is wrong. It brings conviction on them. I agree with what J. Vernon McGee says in verse number 14. He said, I think what Paul means here is that the believers who have fallen into spiritual stupor are to wake up. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." So he's saying there is that Christians, sometimes we fall asleep. Isn't that true? Sometimes we get not necessarily literally falling asleep, but spiritually we start acting like, oh, well, I'm not really worried about it. I don't want to fight it anymore. I'm tired of it being different and weird, and I want to be like everybody else. And we start falling asleep, and we start walking like everybody else and walking in the dark. And we've drifted away from the light. He says, wake up! Wake up! Get over in the light. Stay close to the Lord. Stay in the light. And do what's right. Why? Because that's the right thing to do. So he's telling us here to wake up that we might be able to stay in the light. Now we move on in verse number 15. And he tells us here in verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, we need to understand what the word circumspectly means. All right? After a rain comes down, and you go for a walk, if you go for a walk right after the rain, you have to walk circumspectly or you're going to get wet feet. All right? If you aren't watching where you're going, you're going to step right in the middle of a puddle and get wet feet because you weren't walking circumspectly. You weren't walking carefully. To work circumspectly means to be very careful and cautious about our choices. We choose our steps very carefully. It's like walking through a cow paddock. You got to walk carefully so you don't step in stuff you don't want to step in. Or walking in the backyard if you got a dog. You know, you have friends over and they're not used to dogs, and your dog's done its stuff around the yard, and you know enough to walk around it circumspectly. Your friend doesn't know that, and he steps right in the middle of it. You know, that's no good. You got to walk circumspectly. It's kind of like a soldier does when he's in the military. One of the things that always kind of gave me the creeps about the military is landmines. Landmines. My cousin, or second cousin, his buddy stepped on a landmine right in front of him. And his buddy, I don't know whether he lived or not. I think he might have died in it. My cousin got blown up. He had shrapnel. It must have been the guy right behind him because he had shrapnel all up the back of him, the back of his legs full of metal from the explosion. And landmines, you got to be watching very carefully where you step your foot. Don't step on anything that looks suspicious, because you step on that landmine, bang, and you're done. All right? And that's walking circumspectly, very, very carefully. And you know, there's lots of illustrations we could give in this in life, but God tells us as Christians, we need to walk circumspectly. That means all around us are Satan's landmines. All around us are Satan's mud puddles. All around us are the things that we don't want to step in. And in life, and God says, walk carefully. Watch where you're walking. Don't just go anywhere and everywhere just because everybody else is doing it. You've got to be careful. You're different. You're a child of the King. You're one of God's children. You can't just walk anywhere because you'll step in something you don't want to step in. You'll get all wet in the mud. You'll be stepping in stuff that will get you dirty. You don't want to do that. So guard what you do. So that means everything we do, all these verses here go together. He's still talking about making sure that we're proving all things. So before I take a step, is that right? Is that right, God? Do I have Bible verse? Yeah, that's okay. All right. How about this one? Oh, should I go over there? Should I do this? Should I wear this kind of clothing? Should I go to this place? Should I listen to this kind of music? Would this please God? If I watch this on television, does that please God? Does this honor the Lord? Would that hurt me spiritually? All constantly, the Christian life is a life of proving all things. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, the verses that go parallel to this, and you should maybe even write them in the margin of your Bible, right next to verse number 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. He said, prove it. Hold fast. Hang on to the things that are good. And push away the things that are bad. Alright? So, keep that in mind. So, God's telling us here, we need to be very, very careful to walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Now, he goes on and he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How does a fool act? Well, a fool is one who rejects God's counsel. He doesn't pay any attention to what the Bible says. Fool just does what he wants to do and ignores God. And there's lots of verses that talk about this. For example, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I say, don't tell me. I don't need to hear that. I'll do it my own way. They despise it. They don't pay any attention to God's instruction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. He says, those who listen to counsel, mom and dad's counsel, Bible counsel, preacher's counsel, they're wise. But the fool says, I know what I'm doing. I'll do what I think is right. I'm right in my own eyes. And he makes big mistakes. So he says, don't follow the fool. Then Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You find somebody that's making choices based on their own feelings rather than on the Bible. He says, stay away from them. Stay away from those kind of people. Because they're going to lead you the wrong way. He says, don't go that way. It'll lead you the wrong way. So he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Fools just charge in and say, I don't know. I don't care. I'll just go my own way. I'll make my own decisions. And I step on the landmine, bang, and they're done. And they make a mess of their life. Make their life is not pleasing to God. But he says, don't follow them, but walk as wise. Wise. The wise men are those who seek and follow God's Bible counsel. They're looking in the Bible and say, God, what do you want about this? God, what do you think about this? You know, as a Christian, the Christian life is a growing life. There are things right now that you are doing, very likely, that someday, if you continue to grow as a Christian, you're going to look back and say, I can't believe I used to do that. Because now I know that, oh, that wouldn't please God very well. And you know, the more we grow as a Christian, the more our eyes are open. The closer you get to the light, the more you can see clearly. You know, that's why when a doctor is doing surgery, he doesn't say, all right, shut off all the lights. We're going to do this without lights tonight. No, what's he do? Turn on all the brightest lights. Well, I want to be able to see very clearly. And none of us are foolish enough that would say, you know, doc, when I go in for this operation, you're going to work on my appendix. You know, just shut the lights off. Do it, you know, with feel. You know, I trust you, doc. Nobody's foolish enough to do that. They say, turn on the lights. I want you to watch carefully. God's telling us the same thing. You get close to Him. You turn on the lights of God on all that you do in your life and let the Word of God shine in your life so that it opens up your eyes and shows you what God wants. You will be happy you did. But if you be like the fool and say, flip off the lights. I can do this on my own. I know this way. I'll do it all right. You will fall in the mud. You will make a mess of your life. You'll regret it. You'll be sorry. And God says, don't do that. Don't be like the fool. Be like the wise. And then he goes on and he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. To redeem means to buy something back. In the context, what he's saying here is that we need to make wise use of every opportunity for doing what is pleasing to the Lord. We need to use wise use of every opportunity to do what is pleasing to the Lord. So he says, redeem the time because the days are evil. We live in a wicked, evil world. And he said, because of that, you need to use every opportunity to do right. You might be tempted to say, well, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, it's just like people that are on a diet. Not very many Australians on a diet. You ever go to the store and just sit there and watch? I'm waiting for my wife yesterday. She was doing some shopping. You watch other people walk by. I think, that one's not on a diet. That one's not on a diet either. Well, that one's on an eating diet. I mean, they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. You know, a lot of people's philosophy of diet is, oh, I know, I'm overweight. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start next week. You know, I'll stop eating all the candy and stuff next week. I'll stop my diet next week. And that's a way a lot of times Christians are tempted to do. You know, well, I'll walk in the light next week, Lord, but right now I got to have some fun. So I'm going to walk over here in the mud and take my chances. And next week I'll come back and I'll walk in the light. That's not what God wants. He said that's walking as a fool, not as a wise person. So he says we need to redeem the time. Use all the opportunities, every opportunity to do what is right to please God. Because you'll be glad you did when you stand before the Lord. You will be glad you did. But there's going to be many Christians that'll be very sorry that they made the choices they made. You know, when we think about redeeming the time, a good example of a person that redeems the time is a good salesman or salesperson. You know, what's the good salesperson do? He's a shoe salesman, you know, so he goes in the store and he finds a place over in the corner and he sits down and, thinks, you know, if anybody wants my help, I'm over here. You know, if you need my help, I'm over here. Is that what he does? No, he's right there. He sees you walking there. Hey, how you doing today? You looking for shoes? Yeah, I got just the right pair for you. Come right over here. This guy, how about this guy? No, this one? Huh? Oh, how about this one? And he knows his product. He's eager. He is ready. He is always watching and waiting. He is a person who's redeeming his time. He's making sure that he's ready there to help you and guide you. And he's persuasive to try to get you to make the choice that will get a sale for him. That is a type of a person who is redeeming the time. And God says that's what we need to do as Christians. Redeem the time. Use every opportunity. Don't sit in the corner and wait for something to happen. No, go looking for opportunities to please God. And let everything in your life please God. And he goes on and ends in verse number 17 with this topic. And he says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He said, don't be unwise. Don't be a foolish person. Don't be somebody that doesn't know what's right. Do what is right and understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, at any moment, somebody should be able to come up to you and say, are you living the way the Lord wants you to live? And you ought to be able to say, as best I know, between me and God, I am doing exactly what God wants. I had a good talk with Him this morning. I read my Bible, had my prayer time with God. I got rid of all my sin and had a good fellowship with God. And as far as I know, I'm walking in God's light. We ought to be able to say that. But you know, many times as a Christian, if somebody came to you and asked you, are you walking in the light? You say, I did yesterday, I think. Maybe it was the day before. You know, we just don't know. Why? Because we're not walking as close to the Lord as we should be. So all of these verses here are trying to help us to see everything we do. He says you need to walk as children of light. You are a child of light if you know Jesus is your Savior, and you need to walk in the light with the Lord. Let everything you do be pleasing to the Lord. Make all of your decisions pleasing to the Lord. Everything we need to evaluate, our hobbies, our reading, our viewing, our thoughts, our words, our friends, our activities, the places we go, everything in life, we need to evaluate with the Bible and say, God, what do you think about this? And the closer you get to God, the better you'll be able to understand God's thoughts. And so our passion ought to be, God, I want to get close to you because I really want to know what you want me to do. You know, some Christians are scared to do that. You know why? Because they think, well, if I did that, God would have me, you know, I'd be living like this angel all the time. And I wouldn't have any fun. Life would be a drag. Is that the way it is when we walk close to God? Is that what God said? God said, if you walk close to me, I will do my very best to make your life boring and miserable. Is that what the Bible says? No, it says just the opposite. But the devil's telling us. Devil's saying, if you walk close to God, hey, that's a boring life. You're going to be so bored. You will lose all your friends. It'll be boring. Everybody's going to be against you. It's going to be a terrible thing. Don't do that. Come on, have some fun. That's the devil telling us that. God's saying, no, if you walk with me in the light, I will bless you. I will make your life prosperous. Psalm 1, what's he say? He that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly and standeth in the sin of the scornful and all those things. But he says, he that delights in the law of the Lord, God will bless him. He'll be prosperous like a tree that's fruitful. That's what God promises. Joshua 1:8 says that he will make us successful if we stay in the word of God and walk close to him. Over and over again, you find verses that say God will make your life very good if you stay close to him. Doesn't mean you won't have any problems, but you're far better off walking with God than walking with the devil. But the devil makes it so tempting. So that's why he ends up with this verse saying, be careful, be careful, be wise, and understand what the will of the Lord is. So as we wrap this section up, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Have you adjusted your walk so that it honors the Lord? Have you done that? It's not something, well, maybe one day I'll do that when I grow up or when I get a little... No, have you adjusted your life so that it honors the Lord? Are you walking as a child of light? Do you prove things before you get involved? Do you reject the fellowship of works of darkness and seek to reprove them? Do you walk circumspectly, carefully stepping around the evil of the world and using your time wisely to do the will of the Lord? I mean, these are the questions that come right out of this section. And they're questions that I have to ask myself, and they're questions you have to ask yourself. And as you ask yourself that question, if you're honest with yourself and you say, I got some work to do, then what's the right thing to do? Redeem your time. Start right tonight. You go home, you get alone with God, and talk to God about the situation. Get things right with God that are not right with God, and begin tonight to redeem your time. Begin tonight to walk circumspectly. Begin tonight to prove all things. Begin tonight to let God help you walk in the light. That's the right thing to do. And if you know you're not walking in the light and you say, well, I don't really care, well, you're just heading for the landmines. You're going to step in the mud. You're going to make a mess of your life. But if you will do what God tells us here, God is leading us in the right direction. But you have to make that choice.